Listen, sometimes you gotta stand against the grain and say what's really the truth. Some people ain't gonna like it, some people gonna run from it. But you know what? We gotta be honest. And sometimes when you can't be honest, you need to be fucking real. This If We Can't Be Honest, Let's Be Fucking Real podcast. All right, what's up, everybody? This is another episode. If we can't be honest, let's be fucking real podcast. My name is Augustus, and to the left of me, I've got my brother Evan. To the bottom, Evan, I've got my guest Rachelle Mack and Roman Mack. And at the bottom, one third of the Bearded King podcast, Mr. Tyler Hilger. How everybody doing?
Going good, blessed.
Yes. I'm glad everybody having a good day. So I just wanted to bring everybody on today, just kind of discuss on topic with we all dealing with the corona and the coronavirus and just how the world shut down. How y'all gonna celebrate the 4th of July?
Not celebrating it.
Right.
Nah. Okay, that's straight to the point. Yeah. Mr. Hildred, how you plan on celebrating the 4th?
Man, you know, we don't celebrate. We just find some time to barbecue. That's all it is, player. We did Juneteenth around here.
Okay, say no more. Evan?
Hey, yeah, we already got firecrackers before for Juneteenth, so we don't really care. We might find somebody who's grilling and get some food. That's the take the time to get free food. Yeah.
Okay, well, so we all in a consensus that everybody is just taking the benefit of being off of work or just being able to chill and eat some food for free versus celebrating the 4th of July.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's actually our uncle's birthday on the 4th, so we usually just celebrate that.
That sounds good. That's our family celebrating family. That's always good.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask everybody, you know, outside of the coronavirus and just what's going on, now that we have went through the situation with George Floyd and just the awakeness of blackness and just the, I'm not going to say full acceptance of black culture throughout the world, after celebrating Juneteenth, what do you really consider the 4th of July now? What does it really mean to us or to y'all? What does the 4th of July mean to you now after celebrating Juneteenth this year?
It's a celebration of white culture, and I'm not with it. Just not with it.
I mean, I feel like I've never really celebrated 4th of July. It was just like, oh, we cooking out. And
yeah, facts.
It's we food. Not, you know, like, what I'm saying?
I mean, that's how I look at Thanksgiving, too. It's food. Okay. I mean, it is. It's a food holiday.
True. You got a point.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
All right. So, we keep that. Keep the food going.
So,
for that matter, do we really... Do we really celebrate like Thanksgiving? I don't celebrate Thanksgiving. That ain't nothing to do with me. Well, time off and time to eat. I feel.
Well, I posed that question because after really sitting thinking about just Juneteenth and, you know, just the 4th of July and just everything that transpired within the last, you know, really this last whole half of the year, it's like, do I really want to participate in stuff that really didn't include me from the get-go? Because I was looking up some history about the 4th of July, which was in July 4th of 1776. This was when all the 13 colonies claimed their independence from England. And strange enough fact is, it took between 87 to 89 years from that day to Juneteenth for, you know, for black people to be free from slavery. So it kind of made me think of now after going through all this and just seeing how we've been, you know, really been seeing how we've been treated this whole time. It's like, I really can't fuck with 4th of July. Like, I'll take the benefits of being off of work and getting extra pay, but I'm not really wanting to celebrate now. It's like, I don't want to be out trying to shoot fireworks and all that. It's like, I'd rather chill, be with family and friends, but I'm like, really like, fuck the 4th of July, because for half of a century, it wasn't for me anyway, so... But that's just my take on it.
It never was, never will be for us, you know, because American independence did not, never, and does not still to this day mean that Black people are independent, because we're still very much dependent on, I don't want to say white people, but the elite, like the rich, to basically do anything. Give us money, we got to work for them, you know. Okay. Gas, we don't produce our own gas. A lot of people don't get their own food, grow their own food, or have animals to slaughter or stuff like that. So you depend on rich people who will celebrate the 4th, but it's not for us. We're the circus. Yes.
Yeah, I agree. It's not for us. Just watched from Democracy Now, what to the slave is the 4th of July? James Earl Jr. Reed's Frederick Douglass speech. Mm-hmm. And Frederick Douglass was like, pretty much, it's a mockery to have us try to join in with you all as you celebrate your freedom, your richness, and we are not given the exact equal perspectives. We're not given the same rights. We're not given the same assets as you all. So this is a mockery. Why me speak in front of you all saying that this is a day for all of us? This is a day to mourn all the crimes that you all have done, and we just look at you and we need to sing hymns and songs right now. Just a stronger reminder of the injustice that's happening. This is your Independence Day. It's not for us.
And then also, this ain't even they land to be becoming independent, right? Be celebrating. Like, this was never yours. You took over it from someone else.
And then we built it.
Right. And then we fought trying to get from somebody else.
We fought for it in the American Revolution. A Black man was the first man to die in the American Revolution, Crispus Attucks. So I feel like we have every right to celebrate whenever we want to. Right. So, yeah.
Okay. Kyle?
we lost him?
No, I don't have much to say about it. Like I said, I've never really celebrated 4th of July anyway. I might shoot some fireworks for my son. That's about it. But for me, I'm just about eating a little bit of barbecue, enjoying some time with the family. Like I said, we already did Juneteenth at my house. That's how we celebrated. And the 4th is never going to be for us. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. There's no independence. That we didn't gain our independence that day. So,
okay. So, in y'all personal opinion, with the 4th of July, do you think we should abolish it until Black people and everybody, every race that live in America and ever been here is celebrated equally? So, should we redo the Independence Day?
It ain't going to happen.
That's a pointless fight. I think
we should have a cultural day.
Yeah.
Where everybody celebrates whatever you like. Whatever your culture is, or as far back as you can go, celebrate your culture. As long as there's nothing racist or bullshit like that. You know how that goes.
But you know that's half of the country, because they ready to get their flag out and get on their dump trucks. And
I don't understand that, man. Not too many people fly the flag of a group of people that lost. You know, it's outlawed to fly the Nazi flag in Germany after they've been taken down. So I don't see why she even had the Confederate flag here.
So you saying pretty much federally we should just get rid of the flag altogether, the rebel flag.
That was the enemy of the United States at the time. So yeah, we don't fly anybody else's flag. We don't fly the Vietnam flag.
What you saying, Room?
It's like the Rebel Alliance flying the Empire's flag. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I appreciate that Star Wars reference. I got that.
It just doesn't make sense.
Right. But I also feel like that we probably won't be it. Like, until we start showing more support for, like, Juneteenth and everything like that, like, we make it a national holiday, just like they've made everything else national holidays, that's when we're really going to start to see more of a difference. We need to make Juneteenth. Or if we want to make another day, we need to make sure that we make that our we're going to have days. You see what I'm saying?
And that starts with us because most of the time, Black people only celebrate Juneteenth after something like a George Floyd has happened. And it might be celebrated the year after that. But after that, everything goes back to normal. Now people going back to celebrating the 4th. We got to keep celebrating Juneteenth and if they see that we haven't given up on this, mm-hmm. then that's when they'll start respecting the day as a holiday because treat it as as our holiday.
Yeah. I'm gonna say that for Juneteenth, I agree with y'all. Like, why don't we if they don't let us off? Most people take off on Juneteenth.
Just don't show
take off. Like, if all the rest of the federal holidays is a given and you get time off, you get extra pay, you get all these benefits, everyone recognize it, then why not on the selected day when you see majority of your workforce, which are usually African American, and I'm referring to these call centers and these labor places, most of your people are African American. All of them take off on the same day. When they do that, and they're like, you just shut down production for their businesses, and now they're upset. Like, why is everyone taking off? This is a holiday for us that we're going to take, and you have to either you're gonna dock all us on pay. We cool with that because we took off.
Yeah.
Or you just respect it and you make it a day for us, so you know next year that we going to be taking off regardless, so you need to be prepared for it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it has to be enough Black people for them to respect it to do that. Yeah. We definitely have the numbers. It's just that can we all be on the same page and do and work as a unit and move together?
Yeah.
Continuously.
The age-old like question that we constantly ask, can we do something together?
Of course we can. Will we?
Right.
Hopefully
after this, because one thing I can at least say is that I've been loving seeing people support Black business. I definitely strive more to spend money with Black people, even if it's, you know, just $20 here, $30 here. If you got a price and it's something I want or like, I'm gonna pay for it. And that's another thing. I was like, I ain't even asking for no discounts, even though I really don't do that anyway, because as a graphic designer, I hate when people come to me with that kind of crap. Because it's like, if you go to Balenciaga and anywhere else, you're paying full price. Mm-hmm. But that's how I was thinking. So my thing is, hopefully this Corona stuff is over with, because next year for Juneteenth, I want to go all out. I want to go to like a festival or something that's catered to us, or a concert. I think that'll be hella dope.
I see a Juneteenth festival that they do in Atlanta every year. They didn't do it this year. Of course, but they do it every year in Atlanta. I can't remember what it's called though. But
I actually am thankful for the coronavirus because it allowed everyone to sit still and pay attention to Black lives and what Black people go through every year. This has been happening every year since we've been here. So it's no different than any other time. It's just that with the advent of social media, and now the coronavirus got everybody in it. Like, everybody, you can't move around like you want to. Yeah. You have to sit still. You got to pay attention to this. This is the only thing that's going on right now. Black people are being killed in the streets. So you can't say you don't see it. You can't say that you didn't know. Or you can't even deny that it's not happening, because it's literally happened every day. Like, even since George Floyd has happened, there's still been police killings since that day, every single day since then. So, I'm thankful.
Yeah, I would say, coronavirus has exposed a lot of stuff. Like, just the overall country, leadership, man, just the whole infrastructure of how America worked. You really see that it's like the richest for the rich and the poor. We just on our own.
Exactly.
Man, listen to some of the dumb Trump. I call him Dumb Trump at this point. Dumb Trump. For him to literally say maybe on July 1st, yesterday, he said it yesterday. He was like, I hope that the coronavirus goes away soon. And I believe we're going to have a vaccine soon, but I hope it goes away. And that's right after Dr. Fauci, said that they have seen 40,000 new cases in one day, and his fear is in the near future it's going to be looking at like 100,000 cases per day because we're going in the wrong direction.
Right.
Well, so I just say this. If people vote for him again, I just feel like you should just be able to just go on and go walk off a cliff and kill your goddamn self, because anybody that's got a fraction of a mind need to know he ain't got no leadership. That's the one thing that everybody look for. When all shit is about to break loose and hell just everywhere, we looking for that one or two people that can get everybody like, hey, come on, y'all, let's straighten up. Let's go this way. He just like this. He just twiddling his damn thumbs. And then he like, well, you know, it's going to disappear. Like, bruh, where have you been at the last 6 months? Like, this shit ain't went nowhere.
Like, he made a comment that was quite funny about the corona. He was saying about how he see himself wearing a mask. Because everybody else has started to tell him, like, you need to be seen in media wearing a mask. Like, wear a damn mask. They got a hashtag right now, wear a damn mask. Yeah. So he said, honestly, being the president of the United States, I think like the great bishop and other countries, kings and queens, you wouldn't see them sitting in their office with a face mask on right now. I can't believe that. I can't picture that. And that's complete stupidity, because the mask is a symbolization for you protecting yourself and protecting others. You care about others by wearing a mask. But you don't want to be caught dead wearing a mask for some apparent reason. It's to protect other people, and you can see how dumb people that's probably listening to you going out there trying to live their lives, have fun like it's normal again. And now cases are increasing, because they say the cases that are increasing is between the ages 18 to 35. So that's us. Mm-hmm. That's us going out there. But it's not, when you see pictures, it's not us out there having fun. You might see us protesting. You see them
out there without their masks on.
They're out there, masks, having fun.
They're protesting.
Yeah.
And literally, I just went to this place called Your Pride Pizza Place. Mm-hmm. And I had my mask on, everything. They had the little 6 feet. But when I tell you, all of them was in there, no mask, having a great time, families together, kids in there, everybody is just no mask. They just chilling, having a good old time. Together, like groups of families and stuff, like sitting behind each other, next to each other, everything.
I seen that one went to IHOP out here in Murfreesboro, and I went to pick up food. Like, I'm not going sitting there nowhere at this point, but it was a whole slew of people, and you know, and it was like maybe a few of us that didn't have a mask on, but it was the other side. And I'm telling you, everybody got their mama, their granddaddy, kids. I seen one lady that was pregnant. It's all outdoors, and she didn't even have a mask. And I'm like, sweetheart, if you don't think of yourself, think about the damn baby.
Right. She don't care nothing about her baby.
I've seen a lot of babies with no mask on.
But it was like I was saying that on Ray's podcast earlier, like white people like Trump have – been so privileged in his life, his entire life, that he's never had to adjust for other people's benefit. So now that he's faced with a situation where you probably should, that's where they don't want to do that. They've been accustomed to everybody having to adjust to them and their lifestyle. And now you have to do something for the greater good, everybody, and you can't do that. That means you literally cannot be a leader if you can't empathize with the people at the bottom, the weakest links in the chain. You feel me?
Yeah.
You can't empathize with the bottom of the.
If anything, this just showed that he don't have no leadership. He running the America like he run his businesses that then bankrupt. Like, whatever happened to Trump University? Anybody got a degree from Trump University? We know.
No.
Anybody magnum cum laude from Trump University? Real, I'm just like, he treating the country like any other business that he had, and all that shit then failed. So I guess he just gonna drive America until we fully bankrupt or killing each other.
Listen, that's what I hate, because once he's out of office, he gets to go and continue to be good for the rest of his life. I don't like that.
Yeah, but the truth is that's very true. But the most important thing about it is that we've experienced it. He like a bad relationship. You think it's all beautiful and good in the moment, then you just get whacked across the damn head with reality. This the great thing about this is we've experienced him to know never to go back to him.
Right.
And then too, once he gets out of office, we ain't gotta pay no more attention to this stupid motherfucker. If he go do something stupid and get put in jail in Russia, we ain't gotta worry about him because he ain't the president. We don't have to care at that point. We can ignore him. And that's what we need to get back to is when you stupid and ain't got nothing good to provide to a conversation or a solution, we ain't gotta listen to you.
That's a key. That's good. That's true. Yet I think my wife told me this, and I take her words as true on a lot of things. She mentioned that, like, after a president leaves the office, that they are still having to be protected. They are still provided aid. Mm-hmm. So, like they said, hey, he's Secret Service. He's good for the rest of his life after that point. He can still speak out in a political sense, and they're going to still have a lot of people that's backing him because dumb Trump got dumb supporters. And even if he loses, they still want to support their leader. That's their leader. That won't be the leader of the United States going forward, yet they want to support, just like with us and Barack Obama. When Barack Obama speaks out, we want to listen. We want to hear it. We want to make sure that he's still good, because he's still our president in our mind, even though we know he has been in the office. Yeah. So we will still see dumb people following a dumb leader after this. Yet, like you said, bad relationship. We don't want somebody like him again in there. And he's just as much of a poison to the United States as the coronavirus has been. It's just being shown now that he doesn't sympathize. He doesn't empathize. He doesn't know how to lead. He doesn't know how to speak in a political tone in any sense.
You just don't got intelligence, because anytime somebody can say, "Oh, let's put bleach in the body,"
I'm like, you got to be the first one to try it, though.
Exactly. It's like, that's something that you should just innately know. I can expect, like, Christian or Mason asking me a question like that, and they all love nothing but babies. But you 70-some years old, like, and then even the worst question is, has he never used bleach to know what it can do?
I don't think he has. Fair enough. Do you think he washes his own clothes?
Do you think he washes his own ass? Dishes?
He got the blacks doing that for him. He got the blacks. That's how he address us. The blacks.
So I said, who said he don't even wash his own ass? Because that was hilarious.
A boudet. He got a boudet for that one.
I was dumbfounded when I seen him say that, like, you know, he's like, bleach it can kill stuff. I'm like, bro, have you even got bleach near your eyes? And so
you don't even have to get it in your eyes. It just get too close to your eyes.
Yeah, you like that.
Exactly. He just got a negative IQ. You just got a negative IQ.
With a negative IQ, you wouldn't give a person a keys to your car with you in it and say, hey, negative IQ, drive.
Right. And we gave him the keys to the country.
Yeah, we ain't give them shit. I don't know what the fuck these dumb motherfuckers was thinking.
I still don't understand.
I'm like, every day I wake up, I'm like, God damn, you can do anything you want. Donald fucking Trump be president.
Donald Trump is president. Do anything you want and not be qualified for it.
Well, let's clarify that. If you white, it's all right, and you can be with anything you want. Because clearly, Barack Obama had to have multiple degrees, a clean record, and even then, the
cleanest record you ever seen in your life.
And even the fact that he was
qualified.
Because that would trip me out. People had a whole news story. Oh, he's wearing a tan suit. Let him be saucy if he want to. And my personal opinion, I like the brown suit. I like the tan suit.
That was the freshest president suit I've ever seen.
I'm just saying, that was just amazing. He smoked weed.
And he had Michelle Obama, who also has multiple degrees.
Mm-hmm. God bless Poe Melania. She just got thrown into a whole world of just stuff that she wasn't even ready for. And she just, God bless her polar heart.
I read her her book though. Like she's okay.
Did she plagiarize? She had a speech. She had said she had a speech and she plagiarized word for word Michelle Obama's speech.
She put that in her book.
For real?
Yeah. What she talked about it.
What she say?
We sure she ain't pulling a B. Simone real quick? Are we sure? Can we verify that? Can we fact check that?
Yeah, I seen the video. Like it was literally side by side video of them talking, and it's literally this the exact same speech.
Oh yeah, I seen that video about her doing that speech. I'm talking about that book. We need to fact check.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about the book.
Oh no, the book. I don't think so. It shouldn't be. No. Are we talking about B. Simone? Or are we talking about?
No, we're talking about Melania. I'm wondering if she did pull a B. Simone.
Oh no, I don't think so. Cause she talked a lot about her own life and what happened in the White House and stuff like that.
Somebody else wrote it for her.
I'm pretty sure somebody wrote it for her, but I'm pretty sure it was her story.
Well, anyway.
Hey, beef. I'm hearing some little beef right there. Okay.
Well, another topic that I wanted to touch on was we've been seeing a lot of stuff on news, you know, just with the whole death of black people. One thing I have to express and say this. To any man, and I'm listening, any man listening, watching this video, any man that's black that can mistreat a black woman, especially in a time like this, you by far are the stupidest motherfucker on the world. And honestly, your mama should be embarrassed about you, and your daddy should have pulled out. Shout out to Willie. That
mama should have
swallowed
you. Mama should have swallowed you.
Mama should have swallowed you. But the fact that these men can out here mistreat black women, and I got to take a minute to say this. I want every black woman that's listening, watching, know that we love you. It's black men like me that love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Y'all are valued. It is an honor to know and love y'all. And y'all just are one of the greatest gifts that God could have ever bestowed on planet Earth. I need y'all to understand that and feel that and hear that from me, Augustus Cole. Because one thing I hate is seeing black men do some of the stupidest shit that they do to black women. Because we all got a mama.
Right.
Like the dude who smacked the young lady with the skateboard. He need his ass beat on sight.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, and that was just like about a week or two ago, dude smacked the lady with a skateboard. And I ain't talking about like a small skateboard. I'm talking about a big ass skateboard. Smacked her and knocked her out completely. Because she didn't want to talk to him. And he's saying, how dare you not give me your number. I'm like, that's by far the most pussy shit I've ever seen.
I've witnessed that kind of stuff. Like when I went for spring break, we went to Miami, me and my friends. And one of my friends was not trying to talk to this dude or whatever. He got an attitude. And he was like, she had like box braids. And he walked away from her. He's like, what's your fake ass box braids? I mean, what's your fake ass dreads? He was like, what? Why are you upset? Because she doesn't want to deal with you. Nobody should want to deal with you with the way you're acting. Like, who does that? Very insecure. And like, literally, he was trying to fight her. And it was just crazy. It was just like, what? As black women, we love our black men. When stuff like this go down, we by their side no matter what. We don't care what they've done. But at the same time, we should be respected and treated properly. Even though, yeah, we may not want to talk to you. But that don't mean you gotta mistreat us just because we're not interested.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And that's one video. The second video was a group of niggas that threw a girl in the trash can. And it's just seeing that kind of stuff and the stuff we going through. Because I know as black women right now got their life, their careers, everything, their health on the line protesting. Because anytime it's a black man getting killed, hurt, or whatever, it's black women that, because black women always defend us, because we can all say we got some mama bears in our lives. Our mama will raise some shit, tear up some shit, kill whoever they got to fucking kill when it come to their kids. We can all attest to that.
Grandmas, aunties.
Older cousins.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, and it pisses me off to see niggas who do that kind of stuff, because honestly, they ain't men. Because for me, when I think of black men, I think of black men like pops. Who love his wife, take care of him. All my homies, I can vouch for them. All of my homies are men. We do our crazy stuff. We have our moments. We, you know, watch anime, drink, laugh, talk, whatever. But at the end of the day, we do what men do. We provide, we protect. We ain't gonna never go out and mistreat no woman. And just to see that, I had to speak on it because I'm tired of seeing shit like this where black women being mistreated. And black women, they do all they can. They love us. They give us kids. They support us. They are backbone. Shit, they are therapists. Everything that's good that you can do or become is, to a degree, the help with a black woman. But
it also comes with maturity from that man. Are they mature enough? And most of the time, they're not. Well, or they gotta go through something for them to realize, you know, dang, that ain't even right. I shouldn't have did that or whatever. Like, they gotta learn the hard way or they just gotta grow out of it.
Well, I'm just saying, being a weak-ass nigga ain't something you should even be into in the first place. But I don't know. Maybe how they was raised. But,
I'm gonna say there's too many double sides to this conversation. Yeah. Where me and my wife go back and forth all day, not arguing, but we go back and forth talking about the respect and communication amongst the African American men and women. We're raised two different ways. Men are raised to be extremely strong, yet that means that we can't express ourselves. We're not emotional creatures, which then we start to have a power complex when dealing with women. We think women are way too soft, black women, any woman, when they speaking about their emotions, because we're told not to do it. Yeah. So we're out here disrespecting women because we think they can be ran over. But then when the women realize that I can do bad by myself, they can provide, get everything they want, do what they want, when they want. And now the man don't feel like a man because the only thing he thought he had was power. And now that's taken away from him. Now they're going out disrespecting women. And then it just goes back and forth, because every time a hurt man or a disrespectful man hurts a woman, then that hurt woman has to either get past it before she talks to another good man, or she becomes a hurt woman that starts to hurt a man. Mm-hmm. So it started going back and forth like that. That's me and my.
Yeah,
that's exactly what happens.
I feel like that too. It's a lot of some stuff comes from toxic femininity, because I know that's a term that a lot of people don't talk about, but I think that feeds into the toxic masculinity and vice versa, because it's some stuff that dudes do that make women turn hard and toxic and do stuff, just like it's certain stuff women do that make dudes turn toxic too. So I just feel like you said, communication is the biggest thing. But I'll just say, and I hate to say it, but it's just the truth. Until we value and honor our women and protect us, we can't expect nobody else to give a damn about them. Because just like how the white counterparts, and they use that bullshit statement, it's a valid point to a degree. Because my thing is this: you can't expect nobody to give a damn about you if you don't give a damn about yourself.
That's true. Now, white men, I've had this conversation. I had plenty of conversations with my wife. White men are terrified of black women. Black men can either respect and love a black woman or don't want to deal with a black woman because she's too strong.
That's it.
Whereas the flip side, a white woman will go for a black man real quick because they know that they can get a whole lot of flavor out of that black man. They can get that stability from that white man, but they can get the experience that they really want in life from the black man.
Yeah, that's always the case. White women, and honestly, I feel like white women, they fetish black men because they want to fuck a black man. But when it comes to loving or being married to a black man, you don't find too many white women that's going to do that. Especially
stability.
Money.
Stability. That's the thing. Stability. Whereas the culture that we live in currently today is a white man's world. We live in a white man's world. So they have the power. Like your cousin said at the beginning of this, we depend a lot on working for a white company and these things. So yes, a white woman will want to have the white man for his money, but for the joy and luxury of having fun in life and experiencing things, nah, she will want someone else other than that. Some white men get with white women that just like extremely conservative, so they okay with it. Then you got those white women who are with a white man because that's what they're looked at as they're supposed to get. but they really want a black man, so they are usually kind of cheating in the background just so they can get a white, just so they can get a black man. But like we said about black women are feared by a white man because they can't tame them. They can't do nothing with them. They tame their white woman because their white woman is controlling them for their money. So really, the white woman has the control. But the white man don't care. Is he got his woman. She listening to him. She okay with getting her allowance. That $10,000 a month allowance, she okay with it. She ain't got to work.
But I think that goes back to definitely when back in the day, in the slave days, white men used to rape black women all the time. All the time. They had the power.
They used to rape black men too.
Yeah. And so, like, once things start changing, black women start changing. It was like, nah, bro, you're not finna keep doing this. Like, this not happening no more. This dead. And we became stronger and more independent. It was like, now they scared of us because they not finna deal with it. They not finna try to go through that. They really have to use their force to try to take over us or do whatever they want with us unless we're willingly wanting to be with them or something like that, or they want to be literally with a black woman because I want her body, but because I actually care about her as a person.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a deep topic right there. But yeah. Black men, like you, the biggest thing you said, black men should not be out here disrespecting black women. Because people across the world do it. If we see you doing it to your own people, then don't say when we do it to your people, because, hey, I'm going to point the finger back at you. I'm going to be like, yo, you are disrespecting your own. So why are you telling me it's wrong for me to do it?
All right. I don't know. I work with kids and I see it in them. Like, it would be little things that they say that you just got to check it right there. You can't just turn a blind eye to some stuff, because it's like that grows into toxic masculinity. That grows into toxic femininity. And I'm trying not to be so direct and just, hey, don't say that. Like, no, I have to explain why you shouldn't say that, why you shouldn't think like this. And you have to do it in plain terms that they'll understand. And I try to use as many analogies as I can, like cartoon analogies or something like that they can understand. But it's really no plight like a black man or a black woman's plight. And you don't really see it in the stuff that they might see on a daily basis, like cartoons or whatever.
I got three boys and a girl. We was in the car going home one day. The boys are laughing because they talking about little girls and their booties, and they all in elementary. Mm-hmm. And they were telling me and they try to be comfortable with talking to us, and we try to make sure they're comfortable being open. I was like, what are y'all laughing about? Well, we was talking about little girl booties, and they just giggling. And I said, okay, you think you got a girlfriend, right? They were like, yeah. And I said, what you like about her? Her booty? I said, you like her booty? Okay, cool. Understand, what is her favorite color? He said, I don't know. What does she like to do? I mean, I don't know. I said, son, first of all, the oldest one, I said, boy, I'm sorry, you can't read. You don't know how to tie your shoe and you can't read. And that's a bad reflection on us. But at the same time, how you think any girl gonna like you when you can't even read her a letter or a card from the Walgreens? A little note. You can't write a note saying, hey, would you go out with me? Because you could ask somebody else, how do you spell, will you go out with me? I said, son, you got to focus on respecting the woman. You got to respect the woman. You got to respect the little girl. I said, it's wrong for you to look at them as just an object. She's a person. Get to know her. If you want to like a girl, that's okay. It's boys liking girls is a wonderful thing. But you got to understand, she's a person. And you got to treat her like that. And then I turned around to the little girl, and I said, hey, because I'm talking to your brothers don't mean that it's okay for you to be talking to guys however you want to. Disrespectful, because girls do it now when they're real young. I'm catching it. They talk to guys however they want to, and they put themselves in terrible situations, bad situations. Like, this little girl likes a little boy that likes three other little girls, and she know it.
Mm-hmm. It happens. And, a lot.
And then I'm like, yo, why do you like him? Because he liked me, but he told you he liked three other little girls too. Yeah, but he like all of us. I'm like, oh.
Is he trying to get his own little harem or something? Like,
it's a harem from anime, but they ain't watching anime like that. So I'm looking at him like, I'm looking at my daughter and saying, it's you now. Because if you grow older with this mentality, you're going to be bitter because you're going to get hurt from a guy that treated you wrong, but you allowed it because you practiced it up to that point. You practiced it up to the point you was an adult. And then you're like, well, I told him I liked him, and he decided to be with somebody else. But he told you he didn't really like you like that. He liked you to hang out. If he just say, I want to Netflix and chill, if Netflix and chill is still a phrase but when they get older.
Streaming and banging.
Yeah, that was true. They want to stream and bang. If they want to stream and bang when they get older. If they say, hey, I'm good with streaming and banging, but I don't want to make this official. He literally told you what his plans are with you. So for little girls becoming women, stop these little girls from just going out there too fast. Let them be little girls. Boys, let them be little boys. Have fun, play, have a good time. Respect. Always show a little boy how to respect women and respect little girls. What they do away from you, you can't control. But when you are there, respecting your sisters, respecting your aunties, respecting little girls. A little boy should be holding the door. A man should hold the door, and little boy should hold the door. It's just etiquette. Some things you should just teach. But I'm done on my soapbox. I'm talking about my kids. Go.
Well, do y'all think that especially with men nowadays, that it's because their father wasn't in their life? Because most cases, I feel like that's what it is. Like, they didn't have a father figure to really, like, show them how they should be treating women. All they see is, you know, their mom either struggling or having different boyfriends or whatever that case may be, but they don't have that set man in their life to show them or teach them,
I think you posed a good question. I think that's definitely a part of the foundation of it, because I know for me, how I learned to love a woman is by basically how my mom would talk to me about how you should treat a woman. And right. You get that component, but it's not like having your dad explain to you the other half of the masculine side of loving a woman, where, you know, learn how to be open to her son, you know, talk to her, communicate with her. Because most of us just, you know, from being raised or learning how to do stuff on our own, if we got an older brother or cousin, we learn from them, but it's not always the most productive way. It's the, like I said, the toxic part where you hold that shit in. You don't cry. You don't let her see you cry. Mm-hmm. Even if you got some shit hurting you down to your soul, don't let her see you cry. Even now, I struggle with not even letting my wife to see me cry, because sometimes some stuff will hurt me to the point where I have to walk away because I don't want her to see me cry.
Like that.
No, it's just real. It's just certain things. Like, even when I think about my grandmother, and that hurts me because I'm named after her, sometimes I have to walk away because just thinking about it makes me tear up. And then when she see me, she knows I'm crying, but I hate to let her see me cry, because it's like, for me, it feels like a weakness. It's like, yeah, I'm crying, I'm releasing the soul, but I don't want her to see me weak, because like I said, if I'm in the street or anywhere else, I don't want nobody else to see me cry, because for me, I've been taught that you don't supposed to let your enemies or anybody see you cry. So,
with that being said, I've thought about it. Becoming a husband and a father, immediately my mind went to the fact of showing tears, letting them see you cry. It's a form of strength compared to a weakness, because now you're showing that me and you have things in common. I cry like you cry. I bleed like you bleed. well, since most cases, we don't want it to get to the dire perspective of you seeing the blood and we see we're bleed the same. You cry, I cry. I feel pain, you feel pain. You're showing that weakness is a sign of strength solely because we're now being able to show our little boys and our little girls that's growing up behind us that we got emotions. We hurt. So don't treat people wrong. Don't, speaking from the perspective of men who grew up, men now who didn't have their fathers, I knew my dad, yet I never had a relationship with my dad. So with that being said, I got a relationship with him now, but I'm grown. He didn't put into me, yet I saw many times seeing other guys that were doing good things. And part of us, we have to realize is we have to look towards those good examples in our lives and pull from those. And not always just take, exclude all those teachers and the tutors and other people that came into your life just every once in a while that had a good message. You exclude those people and just live your personal life and look at, my mama never had a dude, or she had multiple boyfriends and they was negative. And you look at just that. But you was at school and a teacher was there that tried to instill things into you. And you just miss that. That's how a lot of us are. We miss the good notions in our lives. And we look at most of the bad. So I'm wishy-washy on that statement of, you don't need your father in your life for you to turn out as a good man to a woman.
Yeah, but I feel like it definitely helps to have, not even to have that person to tell you what you're supposed to do. Just having them there to show you, to be that example. Like, you don't have to tell me how to treat a woman if every day I see how you treat my mom. Mm-hmm. If I see that this is how you treat her, then that's the example I'm gonna follow. If like with domestic violence, if I see that my mother's getting beat every day, then chances are I'm gonna grow up to beat my wife. But if my father was there to love, honor, and respect my mother, then it's more likely that I will grow up to love, honor, and respect whoever I'm with.
Yeah, so, and I think that's an important key, too, for men, too, with you having your father there, because every man has been tested in that way with a woman where you are trying your best to keep your composure. And if you got a man and a father there to teach you, like, when you get to this point, walk away. Because mm-hmm. you don't want them to learn that after you done hit a woman or done something, now your ass in jail, and now you done came to the realization, I need to walk away. So that's another thing, too. You know, it is important for your father to be there, because when you a boy, your father can teach you stuff and certain traits he might see that he might not want you to have, or explain to you about certain things. He can do that versus coming from a female perspective, because a woman can only teach you so far. And that's coming, again, that's from a one-sided perspective of how this is how I would want it to be treated, or how you should treat women. Because a lot of women ain't the same, too. Because there's some women that ain't going to be hug me, kiss me, tell me I'm beautiful. Some women is like, you provide, that's your way of showing, I know you love me because you here. Other women, talk to me, listen to me, communicate. Other women, physical touch. Some women, if you don't tell them they beautiful and you ain't kissing and putting your hands on them or touching them, they feel like they not love. So.
Can I ask, I want to pose a question.
Go ahead.
Do you believe this, I know having a father in your life is good, but what are for those children, girls or boys, that grow up with a step-parent that's in and they're trying to show the right role, yet the child doesn't accept that image. They don't accept it. How do y'all feel about that?
The child doesn't respect the stepfather? I feel like that's a, I don't know, because we had a stepdad for
a couple of years.
Yeah, like 5 or 6 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see him as a dad. I didn't see him as a dad. I just seen him as my mama's husband now. Like, cause I don't know.
But my thing nice was to... he was never really around as much. Fatherly. Yeah, he wasn't fatherly at all. Like, I mean, he whooped us, I'm pretty sure.
He whooped me once.
We did wrong, but like he wasn't. He didn't seem like a father person. Nah. Yeah, he didn't.
Because anybody, anybody can have a kid. Anybody can make a baby, but it takes a certain level of maturity, a certain type of man to be a father, to be a father figure in someone's life. And yeah, I don't feel like he had that. He didn't have that X factor.
So I think
he said the X factor.
I think basically what it is, it depends on that person, whoever is the step parent is, mm-hmm. and how they bond with the child. How are they trying to bond with the child? You know what I'm saying? Because kids don't like when you try too hard. They don't like when you don't try at all. Like, you really got to find a happy medium with them.
You have to find that connection with that child. What do you and that child, what can you and that child have in common? Where do y'all find common ground to where we could talk about this? This is the doorway to our relationship. Mm-hmm. You have to find that. Yeah. And if you don't find that, then that's when the child doesn't respect you as a father, or respect the step-parent as whatever role that they want to be accepted as. And without that, you're just there.
Okay. I post that question because I just said I have four kids. Mm. Three of them are not mine. Mm. One is my biological. With the two boys that I spoke about, they know of their father and they can see their father. So I posed that question because on a regular basis, showing them what is good and what is right, it is showing some results. Yet there are aspects of what they want to learn from their fathers, their biological fathers, mm-hmm. that are not the best to teach a child. And that's what they're picking up on and they're living with, because that's what they want to be like. They want to be like their biological dads.
Naturally.
Naturally. And it's nothing against me, and I understand that. Yet, with that, we see those negative traits that are appearing and showing up. My twin just ran up in the room. My bad, y'all. y'all finna see him on the camera, because he is crawling to me. What up, buddy? Come on, just so you can be in the camera.
Easy.
Yeah, my twin and his mother just got him. Okay. but yeah, that's why I posed that question, because it's different for every person. Like you said, the kids trying to build a relationship with those children, but trying to instill good things into those children, it can be a little bit more complex. And still trying to raise young men and a young lady to be respectable, that other young people, when they're older, can respect, and no one trying to disrespect each other. As a stepfather, I see that there are still some extra troubles out there because they have some bad influences connected to them that they want to be like, just because they want to be like that person. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I feel like as they get older, because I used to want to be like my dad. It's natural. But as you get older, you start to see what is a positive and what is a negative. And that, of course, it just comes with age, but they have to come to that realization themselves. Like, I don't want this for myself, so I need to be able to decipher the good traits and the bad traits from whoever I get them from. I could still have traits from my dad that are good, but I know that I can't model my entire life after him. I can't model everything after him. I can't model everything after my stepdad, but I could take some good here, some good from here, some good from there, some good from there. Whatever has been the most positive What gives the most positive outlooks? The most give the most positive what word I'm looking for? Results. Results. Yeah. Whatever result that is.
But I think it's good when you get them young, though. When you get them young, you can help them as they get older. You know what I'm saying? They get
You still got some phases that they have to go through.
Right, and you can help them through that. Because once they get older, they going to really see what's going on.
They'll appreciate the fact that you were the one that they're walking them through these phases.
Right. Because once they're older, they figure stuff out.
Dad didn't help me do that. Amen. Yeah, it's like me. My dad didn't teach me how to shave. No, see, Lord. Like, I'm looking like, so yeah,
that's real. All right, well, we're gonna segue into the last little thing, just the last little mention, then the recommendations. And okay, just a quick heads up, not to say that this is something official, but I've just been seeing a lot of stuff about this online about just being vigilant and protected for the 4th of July, because people been posting stuff online about attacking Black people for the 4th of July because they angry about the whole Confederate stuff being taken down. So that's just one thing I want to post to viewers, anybody listening. Just be vigilant. You know, if you own a gun, you got your license, keep your strap.
Yeah, let your people know.
Let my people know about this.
Get it around.
It's going to be some fireworks.
Yeah.
It's going to be some fireworks.
What you said? But just be vigilant, and then, like I said, if you own a gun, you got a license, stay strapped. Like Nipsey said, stay dangerous. That's it, pretty much, just I can think of. Now, one thing I do want to shout out is some of my recommendations and shout-outs. Recommendations, again, Mr. Hildred, y'all follow his podcast. He is one-third of the Three Bearded King podcast. Y'all go find him on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And y'all also, ladies, y'all go listen to Miss Callie Ray on her podcast, Stop the Madness. And also, yeah, listen to music. Y'all go download Conan Hercules' album, Black Flower Project. And also, I wanted to shout out to just again celebrating Black women. Saw this online about a Black lady, some Black women, one lady named Jasmine Brown and the other one, Kimberly Walker. They both in Jacksonville, Florida. So if anybody listening to this and that's in Jacksonville, y'all go shop with these ladies. They own a BP gas station. So I wanted to take the time to shout out those sisters because I just thought that was so dope that Black women own in a gas station and they service in their community, because I believe in, like I said, Black excellence and Black ownership, because we need more people putting their money together to buy stuff. So if we can get a lot more people to get money together and we can buy our own city or community, I think that'd be good.
Get on Wall Street again.
Man, we need about that. I'm going to be honest, Atlanta really is like the modern day Black Wall Street. We just need about a good 10 or 12 or 30 of them.
All of them Black businesses out there by the West End Mall and stuff. Yeah.
Call it Blackville. That's what I'm going to call it. Blackville.
I think Lil Baby own most of that stuff now. Or a lot of that stuff, yeah.
But yeah, but that's it. That's all I got for today. I just want y'all thoughts on the 4th of July. And then this is we shooting this Thursday, so this is before the 4th of July. So hopefully when you listen to it, it is the 4th of July or after the 4th of July. You know, if you celebrate it, cool. If you don't celebrate it, cool too. Just spend time with family and friends. Eat some shit up and have fun. But any recommendations from anybody?
Tell a Black woman you love her.
That too. Kiss your mama, kiss your girlfriend, or your side piece or whoever, whatever you got going on. A Black woman that you love
her. Don't have a side piece.
Don't have
just kiss your wife on both sides of her cheeks. And then
there you go. Which one's the other?
Both.
All four. And kiss both lips.
What you said.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right, guys.
All right. Well, on that note, everybody have a wonderful day and love y'all. And I'll see most of y'all this weekend, hopefully. and see some of y'all when this corona shit is over with. But until then, this is If We Can't Be Honest, Let's Be Fucking Real podcast. Y'all have a good one.
Peace.
Bye.